Good morning. You guys doing okay? I gotta tell you, I didn't get to say this the first service. I just am extremely, and not hopefully not in a sinful way, but extremely proud of all the folks that are serving Jesus right now in amongst our church here, but also in places like what was happening yesterday, helping people demo houses. And try to pick up pieces in their lives. I mean, it's just been awesome. And I just want to say thank you to our church. And I'm proud of you guys. You guys deserve a hand for that. Move this over here because I never move it over here. I thought I would try it over here. So I know sometimes I kind of tend to, you know, maybe stay too far over there. So I'm hanging with you guys today. Is that okay? Sorry to you guys. Tough luck. No, it's good to see you this morning. We're going to kind of mix things up a little bit this morning, sharing a passage of scripture that God just laid on my heart this week in the middle of everything going on. I don't know. Sometimes we purposely plan off weeks. I don't go into how we strategize this stuff a whole lot. We purposely plan off weeks between series and things that we do to just try to allow God to speak to our hearts and teach, you know, what is on our hearts and where we feel like our church is and what we need to all hear, including me. I've been overly convicted this morning. I told the band, you know God's up to something when I get wrecked in the first service, because honestly, I'm still just like trying to like get myself going in the morning, and God has just been just throwing down on me all morning, and I have a feeling he'll tend to keep doing that. This passage that we're looking at this morning is in the book of Philippians, and it's chapter 1. And it's a passage that a lot of people will quote. A lot of people, you know, you may see it on a t-shirt or whatever, and at one verse specifically that we'll get to here in just a few minutes. And I know Nathan mentioned something about that earlier. But this passage just rushed to me this week. And just thinking about people going through so many different things and just pain and needing deliverance from things. And in this passage, we see some talk of that. But it's kind of turned on its head a little bit, and we're going to look at that. In fact, if you've got a Bible, you can hit Philippians chapter 1 with me. We'll read this together. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19 is where we're going to start. And in verse 19, we see Paul, and I think it's important to just even kind of take a breather and just remember, Paul is writing this while he's in prison. He's in captivity. He's being held, you know, against his own will because he's been teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ. And here he begins to talk, and he's writing a letter to the church at Philippi, which is one of the churches that he helped to start. And I just kind of go and thinking through all these things as I'm looking at this scripture. And we see in verse 19, it says this, "For I know that through the prayer, through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." And right there in that very first verse, we're keyed into something that's important, I think, that a lot of us aren't real good at doing sometimes. And a lot of times because of pride, we don't want to ask other people to enter in with us to do, and that's pray. That's pray. You know, we may pray, you know, when it's convenient, or, you know, when times get tough, or, you know, something's going on, and just, you know, or, you know, maybe even before you come to church, just asking God to prepare your heart or whatever it may be. But the truth is that Paul is bringing about something very important here that I think is worth noting, and that's that he's got people praying for him, and he's saying that through your prayers, as he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi, I know you guys have been praying for me, and through your prayers, and also through the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Now, right here on the front end of this thing, it would be real easy for us just to go, okay, Paul's got these people praying that he'll get out of prison. I'm sure that he did. But deliverance isn't always exactly what we think it is. And I think that we can all understand and agree that there have been times that we've prayed for certain things that we thought when we were praying, you know, for this, that God would answer it this way, and instead he answers it a different way. And the truth is that with Paul, you know, this prayer for deliverance that these people were praying, that he's praying, and knowing that Christ is going to deliver him, he is sure of it. And we'll see that even more in this passage here in just a minute. It goes on in verse 20. It says, "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." And that opens up a can of worms. Because when we're thinking about deliverance, you know, I'm thinking, you know, this, you know, we're thinking about like the thing that's going on right now that we don't want going on. Thinking about the situation, the bad situation that we're in. We're thinking about, you know, God, please, you know, help deliver me from the bad people or, you know, this whatever. You know, in times like these, you know, there's a bunch of people right now that I'm sure are praying for some type of deliverance from disaster. And there are some of us that are praying for deliverance from an economic situation that we are in. We're praying for, you know, help with, you know, God providing it. And by all means, those things are biblical to pray for. We should pray. We should cry out to God for our needs. And when he meets them, he's glorified because we're able to say, I didn't do that. That's not me on my own. That's God. God working through me and through the things going on and even without me at times. God's just doing his thing and he's going to be glorified by it. And that's huge. So when we first hear this word deliverance, you know, and we're thinking about, you know, how badly we want to be delivered from this one thing, the truth is that sometimes it's not what we think that we need to be delivered from. Sometimes it's not the real life situation. In fact, sometimes God keeps us in the situation so we won't be delivered from it, so that we will suffer. You're like, man, Chris, I don't know if I like that. The truth is it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to suffer. But there are times in our lives when we are supposed to suffer, and in our suffering, God is glorified. And so whereas we may be praying, God, deliver me from disaster, deliver me from an economic situation, deliver me from a relationship that I am in, deliver me from my job, deliver me from what's going on with my kids, deliver me from having to deal with this with all of my friends or whatever it may be. The truth is that deliverance sometimes and most of the time that we should be praying for really comes down to the fact that we need to be delivered from us. We need to be delivered from ourselves. And we need to be delivered from our sin. And if we know Christ is our Savior, then through the cross we are delivered from sin. But the truth is that we will still forever struggle against it. And we've got to constantly look toward it. And just like we see Christ himself pray in Matthew 6, deliver me from the evil one. That's the type of delivering we need to be praying for. And that's the type of delivering that Paul is willing to pray about. You know, Paul's not saying, God, just deliver me from the bars of the prison here because I really don't like hanging out with these inmates. Paul is going a step further. And at the end of verse 20, he's saying, but that with all courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And that's a prayer of God. I want your will to be done. And I want you to be glorified no matter what happens with me. Whether by life or by death. And the truth is this is a huge foreshadowing of what's about to happen to Paul, because it's believed this is probably the last letter that he ever wrote, because they did kill him. Paul's big concern here is not that he would be delivered, although I'm sure he's praying for it, from the bars of prison, but his big concern is that he would be delivered from himself, that he would be delivered from bringing shame. As he says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, Now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And there alone, we know that we see Scripture teaching us, Jesus teaching us to not be ashamed of the gospel. And we have other passages when it comes to that word courage, like Joshua, where God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. And the truth is that we're struggling with this stuff. We're ashamed, if we would admit it, we're ashamed of the gospel. There are people in our lives that don't know Jesus, and we don't care about sharing Him with Him because we're ashamed of the gospel. And we're not courageous. And it seems impossible to ever be strong and courageous because of all the stuff that keeps getting thrown at us. And the truth is that it is impossible without God. God wants to work through us. He wants to deliver us from ourselves, from our sin, so that He can use us to glorify Him, whether it's in this life or whether it's in our death. And little did Paul know that his death was coming and that in his death, God would be glorified. And today, the question that I want to ask you is, if you die today, will God be glorified in your death? Let's pray together. God, we need to be delivered from ourselves. And God, we don't want to bring shame to the gospel. God, we need you. God, we need you so badly. And God, so many times we get caught up in life and we just go about doing our own thing. And sometimes it's meant for you and sometimes it's meant to be done in your name. But sometimes we're not in tune with you. We're not spending time with you. God, I pray, Lord, that we would look forward into our lives, that we would say today, God, that today we want to live for you, that to live for you, that to die for you, that it would all be for gain. God, that we would be found in you and that our life would be about you and not about ourselves. God, as we continue to pray, worship you this morning. Guide our hearts in an understanding of what it means to grow closer with you, that we can be delivered from ourselves. Let's pray. God, I pray that we wouldn't just sing it, but that we would mean it. God, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would mirror your heart. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be found in you. God, that our identity would be in you and not in us, not in some other thing. But God, that you would just lead us and guide us, and that we would just be open to your leading. Lord, I pray that we would just let your word speak into our lives. God, thank you so much. In your name I pray. Amen. So the passage goes on. Philippians 1 and verse 21, it says this. It says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I think one of the things that, you know, there's kind of an inflection here, I think is important, is that we're seeing Paul be very certain as he's saying, "For to me." He's not saying, well, you know, maybe to live as Christ dies gain, or, you know, I hope I'll, you know, to live as Christ. He's like, for to me, to live as Christ, to die as gain. He's very certain of this. And this certainty, I think, is something that's very important to this passage. You know, for us to even think about what does this mean? This is a passage. This verse is one of those things that we've seen thrown around in a whole lot of ways in Christian circles, and it's a very key verse for our faith. But for us to understand it is more than for us just to read it. to live as Christ, to die as gain. It brings about the importance of what our life is about. You know, if we're going to live, then we would live for Christ. If we're going to die, then it too would be for the gain of the glory of God. I mean, you just think about that. You know, that's such a huge thing, and it's so hard for us to imagine. Of course, we have a guy here that's writing this that's about to get killed. And he's saying, he's throwing himself out there and saying, God, if you want me to stay, I'm here. If you want me to go, it's for your gain. Verse 22 says this. It says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. This passage, this verse, you know, Paul is starting to let us in on a struggle that is going on inside of him. And honestly, it should be the struggle of every minister. And by the way, when I say minister, I mean if you are a believer, you're called to be a minister, if you didn't know that. We're all called to be ministers. But for every one of us, there should be this similar struggle that we're beginning to see Paul begin to talk about here. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I got to tell you, that word choose right there, it kind of haunts me. I read that and I am beginning to see and understand an inner struggle going on with Paul that he wants so badly to be with Jesus, that he loves Jesus so much that he wants to be with Jesus. And at the same time, so badly understands that Jesus has him alive that God might use him in the lives of others. And it's a struggle that I'm afraid that many of us do not know. Because for most of us, we are not thinking about the life that is to come. We're thinking about right now. We're thinking about trying to fix a problem right this minute. We're thinking about life right this minute. We're thinking about what we want to do after church today and what we're going to do tonight and how we're going to get everything done if you're like me, because I've got like 15 things due for about 15 different people this week. And we're so caught up in that we're not thinking about like, oh, Jesus, I can't wait to go be with you. But Paul is. Paul loves Jesus so much that he is struggling with an inner battle and saying, I want badly to be with Jesus, but if I am to stay here, that it would be fruitful labor. And he's sharing with us that the struggle within him is that he fights back and forth. For him to even think about choosing is nearly impossible. To live as Christ, to die as gain. To live as Christ, to die as gain. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It's not on the screen, so you just listen. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. And it's that battle. It's that battle that we want our own advantage, don't we? Sin leads us to it every single time. We want an advantage for ourselves. We want a name for ourselves. We want to make something of ourselves. There's nothing wrong with trying to make the most out of this life and doing your very best in everything that you do. But what happens for most of us is that we come to a point where we're just completely disconnected with the thought of even being excited about the life to come. Much less the thought that we might love Jesus so much that it is a struggle for us to deal with this life because we so badly want to be there in that one. that whatever we do, that we would do to the glory of God, whether we eat or we drink or any of those things. In verse 23 in this passage of Philippians, it says, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. I think we can understand that. That life is got to be better than this one. I don't think sometimes that a lot of people I know struggle with that and, don't want to see that because they love something so much in this life. You know, I love chips and salsa, but the truth is that there's nothing better, than chips and salsa when it comes to Sunday lunch. But the truth is that that's not better than what is coming in this life to come. It is far better. And Paul continues in this understanding, in this struggle that he's got, that he's sharing with us in verse 24. It says, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. To remain in the flesh is more necessary for your account. And again, he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And he's concerned for them. And he's really concerned for them that his life would be impactful on who they are in Christ. And this begins us asking ourselves some real hard questions about ourselves. Are we concerned? Are we concerned about how our life impacts the lives of others in our life for Christ? Is that even on our radar today? Are we thinking about that today? Or are we so caught up in trying to make our own advantage out of things that we're missing the fact that people are going to hell? That people are not being pushed toward holiness in God? Verse 25 says this, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. And Paul, again, talking about how his life needs to be about pushing them toward Jesus. And it's a question that we've been asking ourselves ever from the very first day that we came to Christ. That if you know Jesus, that somewhere along the way that you begin understanding that God wants to use us for his glory. That is our purpose. That is why we live. And a big part of that is that he would use us in other people's lives. And Paul hits the nail on the head with a couple of things here in verse 25. At the very end, he says, for your progress and joy in the faith. How many of us are spending time praying to God and thinking about how we are affecting the progress and joy in the faith that others have around us? The truth is, we're so consumed with our own progress and our own joy that we're not seeing anybody else because we don't care. And I think a lot of it comes back to the fact that we don't spend time with Jesus. We didn't get to know our spouse by taking 10-minute dates with them. We're not going to get to know God if we try to do the same. God wants a relationship with us. And when we spend time with him in his word, when we spend time listening to what he has to say in prayer, in worship, we begin to understand and we begin to see God's side of things, and we begin to fall madly in love with him. And when we fall in love with God, we can't help but be burdened for other people's joy and other people's movement toward God and holiness. This is a very commanding passage. As Paul is just, really sharing his struggle here, it leads us to an understanding that this is what we've got to strive for. For your progress and joy in the faith. And I just wonder how many of us are concerned with progress and joy in the faith for our friends and our family and the people that we work with. Because here's the truth. God is looking for ministers in every place. God is looking for a minister at your workplace, on the construction site, at the hospital, working with the department. God is looking for ministers in disaster relief. He's looking for ministers in the church. I got to tell you that probably one of my biggest burdens, please hear this the right way, that the church as a whole today doesn't have people that are interested in being ministers in it because they see it as having pastors and that that's enough. And that's why you have tons and tons of churches where many of you have told me the story that you've been to and no one acts like they care whether you're there or not. And again, this goes back to, do we care about other people's progress and their joy in the faith? Are we so consumed with ourselves and our own little thing? We don't give a rip. You know, the impossibility for us to have the courage that earlier in this passage that we saw, for us to have that kind of steadfast faith, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel. You know, those things come from spending time with God. We can't get that stuff on our own. I mean, it's impossible for us to do. God wants to use us for His glory. And that includes whether or not we live or we die. And the amazing thing for us is to understand that God would use us as incapable of doing the things that we're called to do except through Him, that He would use us, that He would work in us. I'm a tool guy. I love tools. I don't know what it is. You know, it's something about being a man. I don't get it, even myself. But I love it. And I can't go look at tools because I want to buy tools. And I'm the world's worst, especially if someone tells me, hey, there's some tools at that yard sale down the street. You should go check it out. I'm like, oh, gosh, no. Don't tell me that. And I go down there, and I'm not like looking for a wrench. In fact, the last time I did this, there was like a table of tools. And I walked up and was like, how much? And they were like, for what? I was like, the whole table. They're like, you want to buy them all? I'm like, give me a deal. The truth is when I do that, I end up with some tools that honestly are just ridiculously old and don't really even work that well. And they're not even capable of doing the task that they were originally created for. And the truth is that's us. We're not capable of carrying these things out, but God is capable of carrying them out through us. He takes something that is not able to do this and do great things. And the great thing about that is that we can't lay claim to it. It's like, look what I did, God. Look what I did, world. All we can do is say, look at what God has done. And He is glorified for it. And that's why worship isn't just singing or just praying or just reading God's word. Worship is that we would carry out the process of allowing God to work through us. To help show the joy and the progress that is needed in the lives of others around us. Because if I ask you, do you love those people? You say, oh yeah, I love those people. But the truth is if I ask you, do you share the gospel with them? You would say, well, not really. I love them. I care for them. I've invited them to church. God is calling us to much more than that. He's calling us to living for Him. And the same question could be asked of, do you love God? You say, well, yeah, I love God. Then don't try to show Him how much you love Him by wanting to spend 5 or 10 minutes with Him. Show Him how much you love Him by devoting your life to Him. And as you begin to do that and you begin to spend time with Him and you begin to fall in love with Him and He begins to change your heart and He begins to change your desires, and all of a sudden all this stuff that seems so important is so not important. And all of a sudden God's mission is important. Paul's life had an impact for the kingdom. And our lives can have an impact for the kingdom. Do we love Jesus enough to want to be with Him? Do we love Jesus so much that we can't wait to get to be with Him? That's a hard question for us to answer because we love this life too much sometimes. And then secondly, do we love Jesus enough to suffer for Him? If He's going to leave us here, why is He leaving us here? And many times it will be to suffer for Him. And that's not something that a lot of us like to think about, but it's true. Because in our suffering, in our weaknesses, God is strong and He shows Himself and He gets the glory and we do not. And that's exactly what He wants. And sometimes that means that we suffer for the kingdom of Christ. So this morning, where are you with this? Where are you with to live as Christ, to die as gain? Do you care? Do you want Christ to be glorified in you? Do you want to live a life that makes a difference for the kingdom of God? Do you want the people in your life to be affected by Jesus because He's affected you? And what we're going to do right now is actually I want us to take a time for us just to pray together. And on your own. Now I'm going to pray for us, but then after that, you're going to have a little while. I just want you to make the most of it. Spend this time with God. Spend this time examining your heart and asking God, God, what is it that you want from me? And am I even willing to go there right now? Let's pray together. God, I thank You for Your word. God, just for us getting to read Your word, God, You begin to change our hearts. Because it is powerful, because it is Yours. God, I pray, Lord, that we would listen to what You're speaking to our hearts about. God, that we would allow You to change us. God, I pray, Lord, that we would quit being prideful. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't think that we've got it all together. God, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to turn from our sin. God, You would help, Lord, just deliver us from bringing shame to the gospel. God, I pray this morning that we as a church, Lord, that we would love You and that we would love people because of that. God, I pray, Lord, that we would look for our ministries and everything that we do and our whole lives, God, that we would quit separating, God, our time with You from the time with the rest of our life. God, I pray, Lord, that we would quit separating, you know, church from life, You from work, You from certain relationships. God, that we would be courageous and not ashamed of the gospel. God, we're not dead yet, which means You want to use us. God, please, Lord, use us. Convict our hearts to be used for your glory. Somebody else is struggling the way that we're struggling. To hear Paul's inner struggle, that he really just needs to be delivered from himself, that he really just needs to be delivered from shame or lack of courage to carry out his call. And at the same time, being willing to say to God, God, let your will be done. God, and if you so desire to keep me here, then God, may it be for your glory to live as Christ. And at the same time, God, that if you want to take me now, that you would do that. And that it would be for your glory. Because God, I can't wait to be with you. And I miss that. I miss that so many days of the week. That my heart is not just so in love with Jesus that I can't wait to be with him. had this aha moment in the middle of the scripture, if you missed it, where he basically kind of realizes, okay, God, well, I'm here. I'm not dead yet. So I guess that means that you want to use me here and you're not ready to take me. And I think that we got to get there. We got to go there right now. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to the end of life. And I don't want to have regret over what I did or didn't do for the sake of Christ. And that's the mindset that we have to adopt, that we want to take this on right now, not think about it and talk about it over the days to come, but that we want to say, God, right now, I want to start living my life for you in every way, shape, or form. I want all lines to cross. I want you to be involved in everything that I do. Because if I'm alive, then it must be for your name. It's our chance to live the gospel, to not be ashamed of it, but to be courageous for it and what God may have for us. Band is going to play a song called Hold Me Now. It probably has to be one of the most fitting songs that I have ever heard in my life for this passage of Scripture. Because first off, we need Jesus to hold us and to carry us through the things that He has called us to do. But secondly, it is a reminder that there is a life to come, and that life is so much greater than this. And that all the things that we want to be delivered from here, we will be there. And I need that. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for convicting our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be your people, not by name, but God, in everything that we do, that we would live for you. God, help us to see who you want us to be. Help us to be the people that you want us to be. Lord, we pray that you would hold us and carry us through these things, because God, it is impossible that we would ever do them on our own, but it is entirely, completely, without a doubt possible, God, that you could use us to do those things and to impact the lives of so many others for your kingdom and for your name, that you would get the glory. God, I pray that that would be our heart. God, hold us now.